give an idea, because, you know, it really says a lot about the difference between the first time I broached a fourth step and then the second and third time I broached a fourth step. And each time I did it, it went a little deeper. And each time I could feel and sense that I was getting to the bottom of some truths about myself, the very thing that kept me out there because I was so afraid to listen to that voice within me. And as soon as that happened, like I said last week, I would drink and I did other things to quiet that down. But it was already in me, as it talked about in the second step. So here's what we did. I have sheets that I was given. They're taken right out of the big book. And the first part was the resentments for me. I had a lot of resentments. What it was explained to me, I needed it very simply at this time, and I needed to understand, what does a resentment look like? And so, we talked about how, and it's very simple, the reoccurring feelings that I would always get about a particular person, whether it was my father, who harmed me in ways that, you know, I don't even want to speak about. At least that's what I believed. And I believed that there was nothing that I could have possibly have done wrong. When in reality, when I finally went down to do this work and I started to break down what self-esteem was, what pride was, what it meant that affected my pocketbook, I learned something about that too. The effect of my pocketbook was not, you know, it's funny, I learned a lot, was not about anything monetary. In this fourth step, the effect really was the value I put on certain things. The real worth, the holding on for dear life to things that the story I created about it, like one, my father, the story I created and how I held on to that, feeling perfectly fine that there was nothing wrong with me, and that resentment was right and good. The problem was that he had no problem. I drank myself into places that I don't even want to tell you about. I don't have to. But I drank to the point where there was nothing else I could do but drink, because if I didn't drink, I would kill myself. And so it talks about in the big book that this is, you know, that if to drink is to die. I knew that at this point. My first, second, and third step were solid enough for me to face this with enough courage. So the fourth step was about courage for me. It really was about getting down on paper, fact-facing, fact-finding. Now, I say that not because I'm quoting the big book. I say it because what's come to fruition for me is that in the earlier time when I did this, I had a lot of feeling about the fourth step. I had a lot of fear about the fourth step. I had a lot of preconceived ideas about the fourth step. When in reality, when I sat down and I was taken through the big book, the way it was outlined, and it's really clear, really simple stuff I've come to know as the years have gone by. I had to start somewhere at the beginning, and here now it's a very different experience. And I remember Herb saying to me in my most recent fourth step, which was about 5 years ago, he said to me, again, be reminded. And I was more humble at that point, like, you can remind me of this. I don't need to know everything, you know. That this fact-facing, fact-finding thing was just about looking at the things that block me from the very thing that I know that I will not be able to live without. As this alcoholic, I will not be able to live without, as an alcoholic, a very sick person, I will not be able to live for the rest of my life without that connection, without some way, somehow, getting those things moved away and looked at and honestly facing, I will not be able to live. And the truth is that I believed I didn't want to die. I wanted to live. My biggest problem was I had no idea. Therefore, this was the beginning for me to begin that process, to start moving. It's very simple, because if I want to get to something and there are things that are blocking it, you know, I had to put it in analogies like this, because I'm a simpleton at times. You know, as much as we all think or I think that I'm so smart, I'm really not so smart sometimes. I'm really not. I need simple stuff. Naturally, I just go to move it away, right, if I want to get into something. But when it came to this work, There was too much intellect going on for me to try to figure it out that simply, but it really was that simple. So Herb said to me, we're just going to face the facts of the of what's blocking, what are those things that come up. So there's a third and fourth column that are going to, the third column is going to start to break down how you blow yourself. I mean, I blew myself out of proportion in my self-esteem. And then going down the line, what are those things that block, from security to, of course, you know, pocketbook, and then personal relations. And the personal relations were very interesting for me, because this particular fourth step was not about personal relations as it sounds like. What it was for me is, how do I view men? How do I view women? It was very important for me to see that I had preconceived ideas about men and women. So a lot of these things started coming out. And you know, I brought one with me, and I'm not going to read it, but I was going to, but I'm not going to, actually. But it's very funny, because when I look back at it now, I can see, and that's just even my third column, I can see that by the time I finish my third column at the bottom, the very thing that was my that was worth more than anything in the world to me was my, and this is what it is, what is the value? My pocketbook. No one should do anything that interferes or diminishes my ability to have power and money. And that's all because this guy at work, I believed, I created a story about him that he was trying, I was angry with him for years. Being angry with him for that many years caused me a lot of positions. But it was Bob's fault when I first started writing this. This is Bob's fault. Bob tried to get me fired. Then at the bottom of that, by the time I hit the fourth column with Bob, just as an example, I found out that Bob was not my problem. My problem, and it's the story I created, the role that I acted in a way to try to you know, undermine Bob so other people wouldn't see what Bob was trying to do, and I would look okay, and I would get people to come on my side so I would get what I want. And what I wanted was, and I had no idea about that then. And let me tell you something. When I found that out, I was not upset. I was not crying. I was not freaking out. I was not angry. I was so relieved. I can't even begin to tell you. I felt a sense of peace come over me that I had never felt before, getting to the bottom of this, because I was ready. I was ready to do this. And I was so willing, and I had the courage to do it. So I say willingness and courage were the things that were so important for me to bring to this. At the bottom, though, the role, my first role, fourth column stuff, you know, the role it talks about in the third step, that we sometimes are quite virtuous and sometimes we're mean and egotistical, but somewhere in there that we're a little bit of both. Well, when I got really honest, I wrote that my role with Bob, and Bob tried to get me fired, and I found out now that I'm, you know, I really just want money and power. I'm a misunderstood employee and falsely accused by Bob. I just find this really interesting, and it's simple enough that, you know, and I'm not afraid to share it with you, but what I found out at the end was my real role, after I took a look at the harms that I caused other people in this, and the defects of character that were playing underneath it all, that were undermining this a job, something I need every day so I can make money, so I can live. A simple thing that we do, and I took it to extremes that made me sick. And I also affected other people, which is, you know, you know, step six is you know, looking at those character defects. But my real role was that I misunderstood everything that was going on, and everybody understood what I was doing. Just to share just something, because I this one to me is like just opened up the door, the floodgates of. So that's the first part of my fourth step, my most recent fourth step, which has really opened up a whole nother way of living for me. And then on there with my fears. I took my fears. I played them out to the point where once I looked from the bottom up, because my fears always ended up where I would be alone or dead, or it would be better off that I was dead. I see that, you know, when it asks me, and, you know, Herb asked me, where does self-reliance, you know, where does self-reliance in your fears, you know, not working, you know? Once I played that out, I saw how self-reliance was the very thing that was locking me into a corner. And I saw that it never had anything to do with other people. It took a couple of times to do this, to get to a whole nother way of thinking. Didn't happen overnight for me, maybe for someone else, but it didn't. It's 14 and a half years later, and I'm still willing to face and find out what are those things, because I know what can happen as a result of it. I'm an alcoholic. I have no choice. The truth is, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be standing here now. I would either be dead or I'd be a living death. It would be that way. So for me, I really had no choice. Whether it's willingness or courage, if courage comes from no choice, then I had courage. But the truth is, I had no choice. So the third part of my fourth step was, you know, my sex inventory. And really, I'm saying this only because I really have to tell you, it's really that simple. I really told myself a story early on, and I hear stories too that people are fearful of this. And the truth is that, you know, I experienced my third step while I was doing the fourth step. I experienced what it was like to have this thought that I was starting to get an idea about, what it was like to have that, the experience of not, you know, I'm not falling apart as a result of it. I actually, you know, this fact-facing, fact-finding part about it, Herb said to me, he said, look, whatever you do, don't clean out the sock drawer when you write this fourth step. Because if you clean out the sock drawer, it's your ego going to start to deflect you from doing the work. And it's really interesting. I learned a lot about how my brain can mess with me when it's starting to have light shown on it. And when he said that to me the first time, I was like, what does he really mean by that? And he explained it. He said, just don't clean out the sock drawer. Well, there was one particular day during this particular fourth step that I went into the closet to go get something out of there, and I looked at the closet and I said, this closet's a big mess. And I started to pull out everything out of the closet to start to clean the closet. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling within me. And this little voice said, closet. And it was at that moment, and I say it in a funny way, but it's true. It's true. I never realized the magnitude of how little control I really have over some of most of my thinking, and that it must be guided. And to bring that home during this work is the gift of the beginning of that third step, which made me that much more willing to go further. So, what do you do? I know what I did. During this particular fourth step, what I did was we went through these three at a time, Herb and I, to make sure that I was on track and I wasn't going into a emotive, you know, depressed state, that my self-esteem was blown out of proportion, and I was making sure I was writing that it was blown out of proportion, and that my fears were the complete opposite of that blown out of proportion mindset, which somewhere in the middle is where I want to live, right? I don't know about you, but that's where I want to live. I don't want to live in having a blown out of proportion ego and then being in the same minute being completely fearful of exactly that. And I saw that when I started to write. So when we went through three at a time with this one, because these sheets really bring it down to a whole other level. And I took it to Deacon Lenny. And basically, you know, what we did was, and I chose Deacon Lenny, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of the talk in the big book, it really talks about how to choose somebody. But it's really, you know, it's really it's an act of willingness, and it's an act of, it also is an act of courage, but it's a trust factor. The beginning of taking something like this, which isn't pretty, you know, I had some real beliefs about who I was, and I never liked those things either anyway. So funny, you know, I played both sides of the fence. I hated myself, yet I still can, still went out and be, you know, put out a story about myself. And it didn't take me a long time to figure out who I was going to do this with. But for some people, it may. I mean, there are people out there that, you know, I mean, it takes a little time to figure out who you want to sit down and do a fifth step with, you know. And I sat down with Deacon Lenny, and instead of reading all of this to him, because that wasn't the point, it was very clear in the book that it wasn't that I was going to read word for word. It was that I was going to pull together a life story for him, and I was going to share with him that story. And then I was going to be willing. I've gone this far. I mean, once you do this, there's this desire, at least for me, there was a desire to share this with someone, because it no longer had the power that it had before. Because I didn't know. You can't know what you don't know till you know, right? So, but now I know something's going on, and I know that there may be a future for me. I could see it. And here I'm writing things that, you know, truths about myself, and on the surface most people would think, what do you mean there's a future for you? Look at that, you know? But I knew deep inside that there was a future for me, because I knew that once I got it on paper, that it no longer had the power that it had before. I can't tell you how I knew this. I was willing. I didn't intellectually know it. I knew it here. And so we sat down, and I was not judged. I was not given, you know, direction as to what I should be thinking or not thinking. I was given an opportunity to feel some of the, to experience some of the fifth step promises, you know, that I had spiritual ideas, but while I was sitting with him and while I was going through this work, I started to have, and it says this, you start to have a spiritual experience, which is very different than spiritual ideas, because now there's an experience that I could, it's hard to describe, because everybody is different. Everybody's experience is different. And I don't aspire to having your experience, and don't aspire to having mine. I was allowed to have my own, and I was happy with that. And so shared with him. And then I was given some directives. And I followed those directives. Went home, thought about what I had done. Ask myself, of course, you know, if I had left anything out. Thought about, you know, the first five steps. I did what the book asked me to do. I didn't fight it. I didn't try to tweak it to be a particular way. I did what it asked me to do. And it was at that point that Herb, and I want to use my most current, that Herb asked me to speak to him. So we can go through the sixth step. And in the sixth step, at this point, I've already been honest enough and aware enough, with guidance, of course, to pull out the defects of character that now, you know, this idea that I have to be cast out, you know, it really was very simple. It was a matter of becoming entirely ready. And when the step says, come entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character, instead of trying to make it something that it's not, I let it be what it was. It was the beginning of becoming entirely ready. And that did not, and has not, happened overnight. You know, I was a little girl for many, many years. I was not a grown-up. Even as a grown-up in a grown-up body, I was a little girl. I behaved like a little girl. I thought like a little girl. I conducted my life as a dependent little girl. This step, specifically, it was brutal at first, you know, when it was shown to me that, you know, this is now going to be where you're going to get in touch with your adult side. No more of, you know, this little girl mentality. It was going to be, now I'm gonna need to start to grow into being a woman. And what does that mean? Or a man, what does that mean? It means that this is where, you know, some of the humility and the willingness comes in. Humility more with step seven, but the willingness to look at these defects of character and consider that God and I, in unison, will work together in removing these. God will remove, but I will align myself in a particular way that I said I would do in step three, and I will act according to that relationship. What happened for me was, as soon as I stepped into step six, defects of character became glaring. Everywhere I went, everything that I did, it was like someone turned the lights on and said, "You're on stage and everybody sees you naked." That's exactly how it happened. And it still continues to happen. Still to this day, it continues to happen. The interesting thing is though, and I don't want to move into step seven, but that God, there are some that I was not ready to give up, right? And it wasn't that black and white. It was just that I was still behaving that way. I was still, the core of the problem was not ready to come to the surface yet. There were a lot of little pieces of it that were showing up. But I found out that because this is a lifetime process, like it talks about in step six, which, you know, I understand and I'm grateful for, I don't have to do it. It does not have to happen overnight. And remnants, layers started coming in ways that I didn't even know had layers. I didn't know the amount of layers that existed with respect to certain character defects. I mean, I have a few here, you know. The wonderful thing about Herb, my sponsor, is that with the defects of character, there was the discussion about, you know, the truth about, or the potential truth about who I really am and what it is that I want to be. And so we took those defects and also coupled them with something that was contrary to them, that was somewhat of a virtue. You know, something so simple as selfishness. You know, I got a good idea of where selfishness lies, you know, and, you know, what is it to be, what's the opposite of that? What would be the virtue I would like to have? Because selfishness was killing me. I saw it. I still do. I mean that I'm not. It's a day at a time. You know, there are times when God will show me time. I don't decide. That's what I found out. It's time, because it's happening in the now. And my job, I'm moving to seven, is to become really sensitive to how God speaks to me, what he's asking me to do. And that is a full-time job. Because that takes prayer, it takes mindfulness, it takes a willingness to align myself to that which is greater than me, and be true to my role. I'm a limited human being. I don't have a lot of answers. I don't know myself as well as I hope I do as I keep going. But I'm a lot better than I was. I'm a lot freer than I was. And I'm always given an opportunity when I'm aligned with that. And it is work, but it is so worth it, because the effect produced by it has given me relationships with my wonderful relationship with my son, and that was not easy. My mother died in my arms, and she told me I was the daughter she always wanted. Not afraid to open up the mail. I'm not afraid to show you who I am at any given moment. I'm doing it right now. I used to really care what people thought of me. I don't have that kind of power. So if there's anything that I offer is, do take a risk. Because the other way is also taking a risk. One thing I know, and I believe this, is that I was already living a dying life. I don't like that. I don't want that. I didn't walk in here to live as if I was dying like that. So somewhere along the line, I had to make a choice and a decision to do something about this. So that's my decision. Thank you.
Thank you.